Good morning, church. It is always good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. This morning's lesson will be taken from Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. It is a very familiar and famous text that we probably all know by heart, but I will read it for emphasis' sake. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So this morning's title, for those who take notes, those who are joining us online, it is entitled, Meanwhile. Meanwhile. And the definition of meanwhile is the time before something happens or before a specified period ends. So meanwhile, it means the time before something happens or before a specified period ends. So just keep that definition in mind as we go through our lesson this morning of What am I saying about meanwhile? So a question to be answered and asked before we dive into our lesson is, what do you do when God's promises do not look like your current predicament? What do you do when God's promises do not look like your current predicament? So I have a visual aid that I would like to show you, and it is in the form of a puzzle. This is a 500-piece puzzle. And just look at this finished product of the puzzle as God's promises. God promises us this beautiful, good scenery. But sometimes our current predicament just look like one puzzle piece. This is all we see sometimes in our life is just one puzzle piece. Our life looked like this, but God has shown us this. What do we do with this one puzzle piece when God shows us this good picture? So let's look at some examples in the Bible of people who were their current predicament didn't look like what God promised them. They were living and they lived in the meanwhile. And how did they respond in those situations? First, let's look at Abraham, the father of our faith. In Genesis chapter 15, God calls Abraham and says that your descendants is going to be as numerous as the stars in the sky. But when in Abraham's current predicament, he was 75 years old, didn't have no children, and his wife was about 60 or so at that time as well. So they didn't have any heir to be as numerous as the stars of the sky. So Abraham, his predicament was, this is impossible. How is this going to happen? God, all I see is this. But you promised me this. How is that going to happen, God? So what did Abraham do? And Sarah? They tried to take matters into their own hands. Sometimes when your predicament looks like this, you might think that I need to do something. I need to make it happen. I need to make this promise come true. And we see that when Abraham took things into his own hands, Sarah gave Abraham her maidservant Hagar to have an heir, saying that maybe this is what God meant. God meant for you to have an heir through my maidservant since I can't provide it for you. But sometimes when you try to force the issue, you can end up breaking the piece of your predicament. So what happens when you break a piece of the puzzle or you want to throw the piece of the puzzle away? You can't get this. You can't get this. Sometimes when we take matters into our own hands, it messes up the promise that God has given us. But Abraham, he knew he was wrong in doing that. But what did he do afterwards? He stayed faithful to God and continued to rely on God after he tried to take matters into his own hands. You realize that Abraham's current predicament between God saying, I'm going to make your descendants as numerous as the stars of the sky, to from when he was 75, the promise didn't get fulfilled until 25 years later. Let's look at the Apostle Peter in Acts chapter 12. King Herod, he was on a killing spree. He arrested some of the apostles and he killed James, and he saw how pleasing this was, so he went after Peter. Peter was arrested, put in prison, and was facing execution. So he was faced in prison, facing death, but the promise that God, that Jesus gave to him was, you need to spread the gospel. So how was he to spread the gospel if he was in prison facing death? The interesting thing about how this particular passage was written, it shows that the church was praying for Peter to be released, but it didn't show or state that Peter was praying for his release, or Peter was trying to get out of jail or trying to escape the penalty of death. What did Peter do in this chapter? He said, the scripture says that Peter fell asleep. Peter was so, how I read that is, Peter was so confident that if this is where God wants me to be, this is where I'm going to be. Or if he wants me to get out of prison, not be killed, and continue to spread his gospel, then so be it. Peter was so confident God was saying that whatever it's going to be, no matter what my current predicament is, you are still good. No matter what I am going through, you can still take care of me. Peter, he just fully relied on God in his meanwhile. In his current predicament, he said, God, whatever it is, you do it on your time. Or let's look at the children of Israel back in the Old Testament in Exodus chapter 14. They were coming out of bondage. Pharaoh said, Moses, take your people and leave. But as they were leaving, Pharaoh had a change of heart. So you have these children of Israel coming out of slavery after 400 some years. Now they're at the Red Sea. And as they get to the Red Sea, they look back and see the Egyptian army is chasing after them. So the children of Israel's predicament was, we're at this Red Sea. There's no bridge, there are no boats, and this Egyptian army is after us to kill us. Moses, you promised that we were going to be in the promised land. You said you were freeing us from Pharaoh and his army, but now all we see is the Red Sea. We see, how can we get over this Red Sea? How can we escape this army? You got to realize the Israelites were not warriors at this time. They just came out of slavery. They did not have warrior mentality. They had a victim mentality. So they were justified in being fearful of this army bearing down on them. And all they see is, I'm between a rock and a hard place. And it's hard to move over 2 million people. Doesn't matter. It's over 2 million people at this Red Sea that Moses is trying to lead. And this army is coming after him. It's just not like I can just make a minor detour and go around. They were in a rock and a hard place. While the Israelites panicked, Moses, he stayed focused on the promise of God. He stood still and looked to God to deliver. And that's what we have to do, church. Not only do we, your fear can be real, but what are we focusing on? Are you focusing on your current predicament? Or are you focusing on the promise? Or let's look at the Apostle Paul. He was in prison, facing execution, but his promise that God said and fulfilled to him was, you need to spread the gospel to the Gentiles. And we read one of Paul's letters in the previous series from Dion that, I mean, he continued to write these letters to encourage the saints to keep living for Christ in the face of his own death. Paul's predicament, it didn't line up with the promise. It doesn't seem like, how can I continue to spread the gospel and I'm locked up? But Paul continued to do that. He didn't focus on his chains and bondage. He focused on the promise of God. I mean, Paul went through a lot. And I'll read just so we can remind ourselves of what did Paul go through in his predicaments? But he stayed focused on the promise. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and I'll start at verse 23 through 33, it reads, are they servants of Christ? I am out of my mind to talk like this, as I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews, the 40 lashes minus 1. 3 times I've been beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in dangers of bandits, in dangers from my own countrymen, in dangers from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all churches. Who is weak and I do not feel weak. Who is led into sin and I do not inwardly burn. If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus, who is to be praised forever, knows that I'm not lying. In Damascus, the governor under King Aretas had the city of the Minasans guarded in order to arrest me, but I was lowered in a basket from a window in the wall and slipped through his hand. So Paul went through persecution after persecution after persecution. I would have gave up. I wouldn't have kept going through this. I wouldn't have done, no. This right here, I cannot see, God, how you gonna get glory from me being at sea, being hungry, being thirsty, being beaten, being stoned, being on the run. How is God so good that I keep going through these horrible things? How can good come from this? But Paul kept going. Paul said, so be it. The promise of God is so great on my life that my current predicament does not weigh or compare to it. I'm going to go through it because I know the promise of God is true. Let's look at David in 1 Samuel chapter 17. We know that David was anointed king at a young age when he started serving King Saul. When Saul would have his moments, David would play the harp to soothe him. But it wasn't a pleasant transition from Saul to David in kingship. David was on the run constantly from Saul. Saul was trying to kill David. How can you make me king, God? This man is trying to kill me. This man is after my life. He is trying to kill me constantly. You remember that time he tried to throw a spear at me while I was trying to help him? I don't see this God. I see this man trying to kill me. But David stayed loyal to King Saul. It's funny that he kept doing that. And David had opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to kill Saul and to become king of Israel. David could have easily said, God, let me finish this picture for you. He could have easily said, let me kill him. I can become king. Your promise will be true. But it's not about the promise itself. It's about the timing of the promise. David said he would not kill Saul because he would not raise a hand to God's anointed. God anointed king, anointed Saul as king. And David said, God, if you see fit that I become king, you said it's going to happen. It's going to happen. I might not know how or when, but it's going to happen. He looked to the promise better than his predicament. Or what about Joseph in Genesis chapter 37? Where Joseph had a dream that his brothers and his parents were going to bow down to him one day. So his brothers thought up a plan of, oh, we'll see if that's going to come true or not. So they sold him into slavery. Joseph became a slave. He became falsely accused and in prison. It's hard for people to bow down to you if you're in prison. It's hard for people to bow down to you if your brothers and parents think you're dead. But what did Joseph do? Joseph continued to serve God between the dream and the dream revealed. He didn't focus so much on his predicament. He focused on the promise. But Joseph did try to nagle his way out of prison when he interpreted the dreams of the cupbearer and the baker. He said, hey, I did this for you in here. Remember me when you get out. So Joseph tried to say, oh, I'm trying to make this promise come to fruition. But everything happens on God's timing. Joseph didn't get frustrated when the baker and the cupbearer forgot about him. He stayed faithful to God and continued to live towards that promise. So in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, it reads, Galatians 6, verse 9, it says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at a proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. And I think that's where some of us are. We're doing good, but we're not seeing any results. We're not seeing any harvest. And we're on the brink of giving up. But if you give up, the harvest would never come. I don't know when it will come, but it will come. So what are we doing between doing good and seeing the harvest? If we give up in the meanwhile, you can't never reap the harvest. That's why the meanwhile is so important. What are you doing between here and here? What are we doing? The choices that we make can alter the promise. If you throw away a piece like, this season that I'm going through, it's no good. Let me get rid of it. Then you will never complete the promise. Or if I just do this, if I just do that, if I force it this way, it'll never look like this. We'll never get the promise if we take matters into our own hands or do nothing in the meanwhile. I found it interesting that with the Chinese bamboo, it says that it takes 5 years for the bamboo to break through the ground. 5 years. But within the first 5 weeks of its breaking through the ground, it grows to its tallest potential. So what if the farmer gives up in year three of the bamboo, it would never grow. If he gives up in year four, it would never grow. That's why the meanwhile is so important. If you feel like you're doing good is resulting in no harvest, you will never get to the harvest if you quit doing good. So this all leads us up back to Romans chapter 8:28, where it says, all things work together for the good. We live between all things and the good. That's life. At every stage, we live between all things happening and what good can come from this. If we spend too much time focusing on the all things, if we spend too much time focusing on this one little piece, we'll lose sight of this. We have to focus on the promise. We're always in a position when something is going to end or when something's going to begin. So, how do we cope with living in the meanwhile? What do you do in the meanwhile? So, three things that we can do when we're living in the meanwhile. First, we need to stop looking at ourselves. Stop looking at ourselves. Don't make permanent decisions based on temporary situations. If we stay focused on the pieces, we might get discouraged. But if you focus on the picture, it will encourage you. The more we focus on the good, the promise of God, we can begin to see how each piece fits together. But if we just focus on the pieces, we don't know what the end goal is. We need to focus on the picture. You can have all these pieces, but if you don't have this, you don't know what you're doing. You have no idea what you're working towards. That's why we need to focus on the promise and not only the pieces. So stop looking at ourselves. Next, we need to look to God. God will help us put the pieces together. He will help us understand, why am I going through this? Why is this happening? Why? But if we throw the piece away, we'll never get the picture. Everything that we go through is for building us up to accomplish what God has for our life. But if we throw away experiences, if we throw away situations, we throw away issues, if we try to run away, if we try to force stuff, we will never get to where God wants us to be. God will help put the pieces together. We have to give our pieces to God. And lastly, we have to wait on God to act. What does that mean? It doesn't mean you do nothing. Waiting on God doesn't mean nothing. It means that we wait expecting God to do something. And I read Psalms chapter 40, verses 1 through 3, and I think the psalmist sums it up perfectly. In Psalms 40, 1 through 3, it reads, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in God. So as I'm waiting for God to act, I'm expecting God to do something. I'm just not doing nothing. I'm expecting God to act on my behalf. I'm continually seeking God. I'm continually to give him my pieces. I'm continually to talk to him. I'm continually to lay my burdens before him, expecting God, you're going to put these pieces together, and I'm relying on you to do so. So, as I close, I can invite the praise team up at this time. We are built in the meanwhile. This is where our Christian walk is in the meanwhile, between the all things and the good that God is working in our lives. Who God wants us to really be is in the meanwhile. Meanwhile builds our walk. It builds us up. It builds our Christian stamina to rely on God in everything that we do. So what do you do when your predicament doesn't look like the promise? Stop looking at yourself. Look to God and wait on God to act. God will deliver on his promise. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He is the same as yesterday, today, and forever. If you feel that you need responding to the lesson this morning, feel free to come down. The elders will pray for you. The church will pray for you as we together stand and sing the invitation song.